Let me read the entire chapter to you. Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Now all the publicans and sinners were drawing near unto him to hear him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake unto them this parable, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that even so there shall be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a lamp, and sweep the house, and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth together her friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Even so I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. But when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet afar off, his father saw him, and was moved with compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth quickly the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder brother was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called to him one of the servants, and inquired what these things might be. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. But he was angry, and would not go in. And his father came out, and entreated him. But he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and I never transgressed a commandment of thine, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But when this thy son came, who hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou killedst for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that is mine is thine. But it was meet to make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, thou dost know that if thy Son who came from heaven left us but this portion, the earth would be immeasurably blessed. We thank thee for it. We pray that the fact that so many of us are familiar with it might not spoil our appreciation of it and our understanding of it. But having read it, our God, we desire that we might understand it as thy Son would have it understood. And thy Spirit is required if this is to be accomplished. So open the minds of those who are listening and enlighten him and enable him who is speaking and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear us, we pray in his name. Amen. Last week, I spoke to you on part of Luke 15 because part of it is also found in Matthew chapter 18. And I presented the truth of this lost sheep to you, the way God would have us to understand it, as we look at it in Matthew's gospel compared to Luke's gospel. Now, both of them teach basically the same thing, but when you look at them in different parts of God's word, this is what we must understand. That God finds some truths so important that he places them not in one gospel alone, but he places them in more gospels than one. And he speaks them not on one occasion alone, but on more occasions than one. And so this truth about the lost sheep is interspersed through the word. But at the same time, this same truth about the lost sheep is concentrated in one particular part of God's Word. This is a principle that you find throughout the Scriptures. Let me illustrate it. If I ask you, the coming of the Lord Jesus from heaven, is it found one place in the Bible or is it found throughout the Bible? You say, that's easy. It's found in the Gospels, it's found in the Acts, it's found in the Epistles, and it's found in the book of Revelation. Well then, it's found interspersed throughout the Bible. Yes. Well, suppose a man were to have read from Matthew to Jude and somehow overlooked the truth that Jesus Christ is coming again. What God has done is this, to ensure that it might not be overlooked. In the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, three times the Lord Jesus said, I come quickly, I come quickly, behold, I come quickly. Well, if you miss it when God says it three times in a chapter, then there is no hope of your ever seeing it. And so what he does is to intersperse it throughout the Bible, and then he concentrates it in one chapter. Now, in like manner, the teachings of Luke chapter 15 are interspersed throughout the Bible as a whole, and especially the Gospel. But so important is this truth that God, as the coming of his Son in Revelation chapter 22, so the truth of man being lost is concentrated in Luke chapter 15 three times as the coming of the Lord is concentrated three times in Revelation 22. How important it is. If on different occasions and throughout the Gospels, the Lord tells man that he is lost. And then, in case he might have missed it in Matthew and Mark, when he comes to Luke 15 and reads it, he cannot miss it unless he willfully is blind or is blinded. For this reason, I say unless he is willfully blind or is blinded, because if I asked you, what is a good title for this chapter that I've read to you? I know the one that would immediately come to mind. I've heard it all my life. Haven't you all heard of the prodigal son? You say, of course, everybody's heard of the prodigal son. Well, I challenge you to show me the word prodigal as it occurs anywhere in Luke 15, or for that matter, anywhere in the Bible. You say, the prodigal son, it isn't there? No, the Lord never uses that word. That's something that man attached to it. And it's so easy to remember the prodigal son that we say, this is the parable of the prodigal son. But that is never a description of Luke chapter 15. Indeed, he is prodigal because he went and spent his father's substance in riotous living. Indeed, he was prodigal with his father's substance. That is but one characteristic of the man's actual condition. And his condition is that of being lost. And because he is lost, he is prodigal. He is wasteful with his father's substance. But prodigality is but one characteristic. The word that God uses is lost. And in case you miss it, the word lost is used 5 times in Luke chapter 15. And so if you say, well, let's call it the parable of the lost son. No, you're wrong again, because this is the parable of found things as well as lost things. And so we can't speak of the lost son, because that would be part of the story. Because this thy brother was lost and is found. You say, well, it's the parable of the lost and found son. Not quite, because it says, he spake this parable unto them, and he spoke about a sheep that was lost, and he spoke about a coin that was lost, and then he spoke about a son that was lost. You say, well, it's the parable of the lost and found things. Of course, you've got it at last. The parable of the lost and found things, and then you have given it the name that our Lord would have it to receive, because this is the way he describes it. It is not a prodigal son. Indeed, he's prodigal. But the thing that is so damning is that he is lost. He is dead. Now, many of you will say, well, yes, at times I speak words I should not. At times I'm wasteful. You are describing something that is more basic than wasteful and ill-timed in your speaking. You are describing characteristics of a sinner who is lost. And so why not come out and confess, I am lost, and therefore I speak with my tongue ill-advisedly, and I squander money, and I break the commandments of God. They're all characteristics of a person that is lost. And that is your condition today. And in case you might miss it, remember, the Lord never called him the prodigal son. He called him the lost son. And that is your condition this morning. If you say, yes, I have on occasion told lies. On occasion, I've had anger. I've had hatred in my heart. Yes, I've had lustful thoughts. All of those things are descriptive of your basic condition, which is you are lost. And the Lord tells you this 5 times in Luke chapter 15. And so if a man misses it, if he wants to change it, then he does so at his own responsibility, because the Lord is not guilty of leading you astray. What is the condition of men that do things that are contrary to the will of God? They are lost sinners, and they need to be found. And this is what happens in Luke chapter 15. He does not leave man in his lost condition, but the same Savior who describes fully and truthfully the condition of man as being lost shows that he at the same time is actively engaged in the recovery of these lost things. And now again, I'm going to show you why the Savior teaches things in a twofold way. The truths that I taught you last week were gathered by comparing Matthew 18 with Luke 15. You see it by comparing the two together. But unless you have received any gift from God, and unless you go to the trouble of comparing these things, you will never see this truth. And so for those who may not take time to read the account as it occurs in all the Gospels, then the Lord brings these truths that are interspersed throughout the Word, and he concentrates them in one chapter. And that is the lostness of man and just why he is lost. I told you, and this is most important, that Matthew 18 was so different from Luke 15 in this respect. Luke 15 is a parable of lost and found things. Everything that's lost in Luke 15 that is described as lost is found. But in Matthew 18, that truth is not contained. It speaks about 100 sheep and one that goes astray, but it says, if so be that he find it. There is uncertainty in Matthew chapter 18. And I brought out last week by comparing the two, the uncertainty is this. It's whether or not man will permit the Lord Jesus to find him. The Savior said, you will not come unto me that you might be saved. He went to a man that was sick and he said, wilt thou be made whole? And so from comparing the two, we see just why the Lord has to speak uncertainly in Matthew 18, if so be that he find it. The only uncertainty, the only reason that sinners are never found is because of their hardened hearts, of their stubborn wills that refuse to allow the Lord Jesus to find them. And so you see that by looking in the Bible and you see sinners. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. That's why men are not found. They love darkness rather than light. And that truth is found by comparing different portions of the Bible together. But then the Lord concentrates in Luke 15 all of these truths in this one chapter. The fact that success is guaranteed if it is left up to the shepherd to find the sheep. But let me ask you a question. How much responsibility is it of a coin that a coin is lost? Yeah, a coin. Now, sometimes they slip out of our hands, but it's our fault. Why, of course. And at the same time, how many sheep willfully go astray? I think that it's their ignorance, their lack of understanding. They see some grass over here, and they go after it, and they see some grass over there, and they go after it, and then they've gone astray, and they're lost. But there is not only a senseless coin and an ignorant, dumb animal, a sheep, but at the same time, there is an intelligent, thinking man. And he says to his father, give me the portion of the substance that befalleth me. And his father gives it to him. And it says, not many days after, he gathered all together, and he went into the far country. The Lord is teaching the same thing, that man is lost for a variety of reasons. And it's not the object of the lesson today to tell you about all of these, but in some senses, a man is lost, and he's oblivious to it, as much as a coin is. He doesn't even know that he's lost. And he doesn't know that somebody is out searching for him, and he's lost. And others are lost, and they never know why. How did it happen? How is it that I'm in this condition? And at the same time, God could not hold a coin and a sheep responsible for being lost in the same way that he can hold a man responsible for being lost. And so he puts all of these things here together. And so finally, instead of a man being lost simply willfully, that's one part of it, he has him lost as a coin and as a sheep and as a son. And so he concentrates them all. And man is lost in every conceivable way. Do you see how important this truth is? That God is telling us that men are lost. If you say, well, I don't know anything about being lost, then you're like a coin. If you say, well, yes, I know something's wrong, but I don't understand. Somehow I'm away from God. Then you're lost as a sheep. And at the same time, if some of you have gone into the far country and you've chosen to live a life of riotous living, then you are like that son. And you're in the far country alienated from God because you had chosen to, Father, give me your substance. I want to break away from you. You are like those described in Ephesians where it says that at one time we were separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And it's all your own choice because that young man said, give me what I have coming to me. And God has given you all the material substance that you have, health and strength and vigor, and you take it. And instead of enjoying it in the presence of your Father, you go into a far country of your own volition. And so you're lost in every conceivable way. And this is what the Lord wants to bring to your attention. Again and again he brings this out. He tells you one time, two times, three times. And even though you might think, well, as a coin, God could not hold me responsible. As a sheep, God could not hold me responsible. But if a sinner says to God, I want to leave you, give me everything that's necessary to make life enjoyable away from you, and I will get out of your presence, then God can hold that man responsible, and he holds you responsible. Because of your own volition, you had chosen to depart from God. And God allows it. You say, God allows it? Why, of course. He did not make man that must choose good and refuse the evil, but he made man so that he could either eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or refuse the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And man chose evil and darkness rather than light, even in his innocent condition. How much more in his sinful condition? And whatever the reason, the important thing about the parable in Luke 15 is this, that man is lost. And this is what Christ is driving home. That is why I did not read one part of Luke 15. I read all of it so that if you might miss it in one part of the parable, you will get it when I read the entirety of the parable. You are lost, lost, lost. This is what God says. And as to there being any distinction, as I'm bringing out now, yes, for this reason. Not because our Lord explains the distinctions of a lost sheep and coin and son, but because when he speaks other parables, he gives a detailed interpretation of the minor points contained in the parable. Many competent men, and I tend to agree with them, they say this, in the portion that we have before us, do not press the details. There is just a general content of the parable that Christ is seeking to get across, and that's all that we can teach from this parable. I would agree with that, except for this. When the Lord speaks other parables and explains them, he does not explain one leading feature of the parable, but he explains the details of the parable. He said, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the heaven came down and devoured the seed. You say, well, it's simply the preaching of the gospel. No. The Lord Jesus said that he is the Son of Man. He said, the sower soweth the word, and so the seed is the word of God. He said, the soil is the heart of man. He said, the birds are the evil one that snatches away the word of God out of the heart. Now from that, shall I say just the leading feature of the parable? Or did the Savior himself interpret the details of the parable? You say, he interpreted the details of the parable. Now, with man, they elaborate and give all sorts of details to make things pleasant, but our Lord says that we have to give account for every idle word. And whereas there are some things that are essential that may not be explained, our Savior is so expert. Never man spake like this man. He is able to make everything fall into place, and you look at it without pressing the scriptures into distortion, and everything does have an interpretation. Now, let me show you why I take it that way. I understand that it may be that the Savior is simply trying to tell you one truth three times to drive it home to your heart. But had he only been doing that, he could have done it the way Ezekiel did. This is what Ezekiel says three times. Listen. He said, I will overturn it, overturn it, overturn it. Here is the same truth. And if he simply wants to emphasize it by repetition, he says it three times. He gives no variation. Now, the Lord Jesus, if he simply wanted to tell you that you were lost, he could simply tell you three times in succession that you're lost. But instead of that, he gives us a parable in three parts, if you will have it that way, because the two parts go together. But then it says, and he said unto them, that seems to be a break when he speaks of the parable of the lost son. But you look at Luke 15 as a whole, and it is one parable as you look at it in three parts because of that. And he simply does not say it three times you're lost, but in three different ways he shows it. Then I take it that the Lord is bringing out the various ways in which man is lost. But the reason that I have accepted the fact that the details are to be interpreted, the shepherd, the woman, and the father, is for this reason. I told you in past weeks, and I illustrated it, and I gave you the scripture, and I'm going to give it to you again. I told you that even though sinners are lost, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one sinner perish. And I showed you that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all gave an invitation for sinners to come. Listen to the Father in Matthew chapter 22. He said, I've made a marriage feast for my son. Come to the marriage feast. This is the Father inviting. At the same time, in Matthew 11:28, the Savior says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Son invites sinners to be saved. And then in Revelation 22, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And so we have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all inviting lost sinners to be saved. And now, even those who say, I do not believe in the details of the parable being interpreted, I ask this. Well, who conceivably is that shepherd that's seeking the sheep? And all of them say, why, that's Christ. I see. It's not just lost people being sought, but you say the one that's seeking the lost sheep is Christ? Yes. Well, why do you say that? Why just say it's just lost sheep? No, no. The shepherd is Christ. I see. I may accept that and go from there? Yes, you may. Fine. And so, if this shepherd is Christ, and even those who will not allow details to be interpreted say the shepherd is Christ, then I speak of the Father. I wonder whom the Father could represent. I think the Father represents the Father. And what about this woman? You say, well, you have the Son and the Father. Then, if what you've been telling me about the invitation to come, then somehow this woman depicts the Holy Spirit. That's right. And as you have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit giving invitations to sinners to come, but the Lord Jesus not only gave invitations, he said, the Son of Man is come to seek, as well as to save that which is lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so, it is not Christ dying on the cross here. There are some who would read into Luke 15 the death of Christ. It's not necessary. What he is doing in this chapter is bringing out the fact that the Son of Man came to seek that which was lost. And so he has himself in the shepherd seeking that which is lost. And he has in the Father's desire for the salvation of that which is lost. And he has in the woman the Holy Spirit of God seeking that which is lost. Now, this is a little sophisticated, but I want you to think it through for this reason. If I had time, I would explain and tell you why. But I can show you that every occurrence in the entire Word of God, when you have leaven that is used symbolically, it is always used symbolically as being evil. Now, for this reason, from the parable of the sower who went forth to sow, I understand that he speaks of birds. He said that when the seed was sown, the birds came and gobbled up the seed that was sown. And then he interprets that. Birds, but they're not birds. They depict the evil one that comes and snatches out of the heart the word of God that the sower sowed. And so at times, that which is a bird or something else is a representation of the parable's real intent of showing that while Christ is seeking sinners to be saved, Satan, depicted in the birds, is trying to have sinners lost and destroyed. And so this is what happens in the parables that he speaks in Matthew 13. Now grasp this. We have, first of all, Satan in the birds coming and gobbling up the seed. But in the second parable, we have the same man sowing good seed in his field, but while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares. You have the man, Christ Jesus, seeking to save sinners, and you have satanic activity depicted in the birds or in another man that sows tares. And so we may have a man or we may have birds, but the man and birds represent another satanic activity. And in like manner, when we come to the fourth parable, it says the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until all of it was leavened. Here, as Satan is snatching the seed and sowing tares in the field, so Satan is again depicted in a woman. Now notice, you have birds and a man and a woman, and all of them are doing things they should not do. And yet, they are not birds or a woman, but they are instruments of satanic activity. And now you should see it. The Lord Jesus uses a woman in Matthew 13 to depict satanic activity to do that which is evil and contrary to the will of God. But in Luke chapter 15, he reverses it. And he uses a woman to depict the activity of the Holy Spirit of God to bring about the will of God. For this reason, it is evident that if something is lost and a woman is lighting a candle and is sweeping and finds that which is lost, is that satanic activity? You say, no, Satan wants men lost, but this woman wants things found. And as a woman depicts satanic activity, whom do you think this woman depicts in Luke 15? You say, divine activity. Of course. And so we have the Son in the Shepherd, and we have the Father in Himself, the Father, and we have the Holy Spirit of God through the instrumentality of another, lighting a candle and sweeping to find that coin which was lost. Do you see? Now, that is why the Scripture harmoniously fits together, and as we have the Father and the Son and the Spirit saying, come, 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 so we have also the Father and the Son and the Spirit inviting and seeking sinners that are lost. They all go about it in their various ways, but all of them, the Father, Son, and Spirit, are all engaged in the recovery of that which is lost. It makes no difference how you are lost. Understand, if you are as a lost sheep, the Lord Jesus can find you. If you are as a lost coin, then the woman can find you. And if you are that lost son, then the Father will receive you. Now, two things. I have not said that the Father seeks in Luke 15. Why? Because A coin that is lost has no desire, and a sheep has no will in the sense of a man, but a son has a will. And for that reason, God is powerless to save that son unless that son wills to be saved. And that is precisely what I told you Matthew 18 taught. If so be that he find it. And I told you that in Luke 15, the Savior brings all of these teachings together. If it were a matter of simply a coin being found, then the woman finds it. If it is a sheep being found, the shepherd finds it. But when it's a son being found, the father can do absolutely nothing, because it's whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. And unless this son wills to return to his father, the father himself is powerless to do anything to get him home. Yes, his heart yearns for his son. His heart loves his son. But he is able to do nothing to force that son to come back, other than this: to allow him, since he will not learn from grace and love and goodness the environment of the father's house, then let him go and learn when he feeds swine that the wages of sin is death, and the way of the transgressor is hard, and he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And this is what God does. And so the father simply lets the sinner go out into the world, and when he smarts so intensely that he can stand it no longer, it says he came to himself. Do you see? It was up to the shepherd to find the sheep and the woman to find the coin, but the son has to come to himself. And when he comes to himself and he returns home, it shows the heart of the father all along. His father saw him a great way off, and he ran down the road, and he embraced him, and he smothered him with kisses. That's what it says. Why? Because the father's heart wants everyone saved. Matthew 18 says, "It is not a thing willed of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish." The Father is waiting, and he wants you to return home, and he will embrace you and give you the kiss of reconciliation. But he cannot, because you are more than a coin, something of value, more than a sheep, an ignorant, dumb animal that's gone astray. You willfully have separated yourself from God, and therefore the Father, with compassion and love, must let circumstances bring you to himself. And when you are reduced to penury and to feeding swine, then the Spirit of God works in your heart, and you think about the Father's house. How many of my father's servants have bread enough and to spare, and I starve here? I'm hungry, feeding swine. And the Spirit of God says, your father will take you back. But the Spirit of God does not get across the fullness of the Father's love and reconciliation, and so he thinks up this little repentant prayer that he's going to give his father when he gets home. He says, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But the father sees him afar off, and before he can say all of these things, he interrupts him, and he says, bring hither the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and kill the fatted calf. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And so in Luke 15, it is all certainty. No uncertainty at all. Why? Because in Luke 15, the coin and the sheep and the son are those who are in such a condition that they want to be saved. And any sinner that wants to be saved is always saved. No sinner will ever look at God and say, I would have been saved, but you did not save me. I wanted to be saved, but you did not save me. That is a lie. There is no sinner that wants to be saved that is never recovered by Christ himself when he was on earth, or by the instrumentality of the church through the Holy Spirit of God,